Okay, hello, my name is Brian, and we're going to do something a little bit different and also a little bit the same. This talk is called Keeping Spatial Scripting Sane with Samaki and Raku, so something a little new. I'm a logistics engineer at Instacart in the US. We do grocery technology and delivery. We have a lot of fun and interesting spatial problems. I'm also a contributor to the Raku ecosystem. Anybody heard of the Raku programming language? Okay, a few people, good. First I'll talk about the motivation. I'm going to talk about Samaki, something that I've written to help with spatial scripting, some examples, how to extend it, and then a little bit about the choice of Raku as a programming language. So if you're here for the first talk today, you sort of saw some of this about what it's like with the ecosystem of spatial data and tools. There's a lot of tools, a lot of data. It gets messy. Also, if you're writing scripts, one of the challenges is that you want to do visualization while you're writing your code. So you can't just sort of, you know, write something, compile it, run it. You have to sort of iterate. Data is nice when it's local and it's small. Sometimes it's big and it's far. And there are a lot of different languages. So the goal of Swahili is to be able to integrate a lot of different programming languages together at the same time. And it has some aspects of REPLs and some aspects of notebooks, like Jupyter Notebooks. So let's just dive right in. So the basic concept is like this. You have all your languages in a single file. You use two dashes to separate them into cells. So you might have some Python, some DuckDB, you might have some R. Anybody use R here? Okay. You might use an LLM. First AI of the day in this talk, so in this room. So these are cells. I'm going to talk a little bit about plugins and plug-outs for visualization. So each cell has a type like Python, then it has a name like location, and then JSON is the output format. You might generate JSON, you might generate CSV files, you might generate images. So you sort of put them all here together, and then you might want to share information between your different cells. So that can get tricky, so that's why we introduced these angle brackets here. This is the Unicode angle bracket. They're not used in a lot of programming languages, so they probably won't get in your way, and you can interpolate Raku expressions there. So right here, we find a location, generate from JSON, and then take the latitude and longitude, and then put it here inside of the SQL that we can send off to DuckDB. You can also put a little bit of code at the beginning. You can say, you know, a variable has dollar country, and then you can do something with it later on. So they all sort of share the same execution context. Okay, so summary, cells like this, two dashes is the beginning of a cell. The type comes at, is before the colon, then you have a name, then you have an extension. The lines that start with dashes separate the cells. The first plugin that matches the type will be used to execute the cell, and then the first plug-out that matches the extension will be used to generate the data. But you can use the other types if there's multiple matches. And then you can interpolate data into your code with angle brackets. So this is basically how it works. There's an interface. So here we have a little text editor. If you don't use VI, you can also set your editor and use another one, or it can watch for changes to your files. You edit your file like this, and then you start up this console user interface. It'll highlight the parts that are getting interpolated. It'll highlight your Raku code. And then you can basically change between this, where you're editing, and then you can change. You can make it be in evaluation mode, where it'll fill in your data for you, so you can see what you're going to execute. Then the bottom will have the outputs. So we run our CSV, hit return. It runs. I use Postgres here, so we could use a geography type. We are just going to buffer this point. Then we can select our output file, CSV file. Choose one of the plug-outs that mentions it. Okay, so CSV geo. Then we'll launch a web browser, and then we get to see our data. So that's how it works. So you define your input types, your output types. You kind of write some code, run some cells, share data between cells, visualize, and keep going. So let's see if we can get through a few examples in 5 minutes. So we're going to geocode here, generate a CSV, then put it into Postgres, and then visualize it. So this is what we just saw. Okay, let's do a little Python and R sort of mashed up together here. So here we'll use a little Python. The slides are online, by the way, so you don't have to read everything now. So generate a bounding box with Python and then put it into R with tidyverse, and then when it'll basically launch the R REPL, and then you can see the output below, and then R will spawn its own window, and you get a little MapNIC tile suitable for experimenting with the tiles that you're generating. When you configure them, this is how you make a plugin. It's really simple. You have a regular expression that matches the type. And then you have a method that's called execute. And execute basically takes the data and runs something. There are some common ones. The ones we saw are processes and REPL. So process takes standard in, prints to standard out, or maybe uses a temporary file. Raku has built-in support for pseudo TTYs like expect does. But if you don't want to use expect, you can use this instead. So it can also do things like parse streaming UTF-8 and ANSI escape sequences. So it can take care of all that stuff. And you can put a definition of a class right into the configuration file. So basically the grass plugin we saw, it just looks like this. So it's plugin :: REPL command grass, and that actually generates a class that has an execute method that runs the grass command. Similarly, you can make a process like that. Command is called Claude. Send the args, say use standard in instead of a temp file. So this is actually a way of defining a class in Raku by using a role. A role defines an interface, and if you pass it some parameters, you can turn the interface into a class. There are a lot of plugouts and plugins that come with it. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you saw a few already. The plugouts kind of work the same way. Basically, you define something called execute. It gets $path, which is the name of the file. This is the thing that will basically show an image. You just say shell and then open, and it'll use the system open command. So it's really easy to add things for your own tooling. And let's see. So these are all the different things that are included. You know, you can generate Markdown. You have GeoJSON if you use tmux. There's also a way to spawn a command in a separate tmux pane, and then it'll use the tmux control API to send and receive data from it, so you can interact with things that way if you want to also. Sometimes people say, why are you using Raku instead of another language? I'll just give you a few reasons here, that some of which I've already mentioned. So it has really good process interactions, pseudo TTY is built in. Talk to me more at the Raku and Perl stand, and I think that's it. The end. Oh, and if you, for more information, yeah, check the slides, and also you can just Google for Raku Sabaki. Thank you.